Good morning, everybody. And first of all, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me to this wonderful workshop. So I'm going to talk about mutual control of the electricity and magnetism in the maritime fluids, although my proposed title is a bit different, but content is the same. These are my collaborators. Someone criticized this is like a company, but so many people are working. Oh, yeah, maybe. You can hear me? You can hear me? No. Okay, you can hear. I don't have to explain to you the importance of the multi-helix. Of course, I would like to gigantically enhance the interaction between the polarization and the magnetism. For example, the magnetic field control of the polarization and electric field magnetization in terms of the multi-ferroics. So here I list possible subjects to be pursued in the near future in the science of the multi-ferroics. Of course, many people rush into the gold mine. There are lots of the exploratory multi-ferroic materials, spiral structures or exchange restriction-based materials or charge ordering, and also all the interface of the magnetic materials should be a potential multi-ferroic. But no rush, there are lots of the actually the magnetic ferroelectrics. You may find some in my talk. And also, another good important issue is the magnetic control of the electricity. This kind of the multi-ferroics inherently have several order parameters, or more than two or more order parameters. So the two phases, magneto-electric phases, compete with each other. So you can easily find the sort of the bicritical or multi-critical point in the materials. So near around that multi-critical point, you can have a big chance to control the electric phases in terms of the magnetic field. And another very important issue to be pursued in the future is the magnetic control of the ferroelectric domains. Very pioneering Russian people's work is already done on this one, but maybe it can be redone by the modernized viewpoint. And the other one is the electric and optical control of the magnetism. This is, of course, a central issue of this science. And we have, for example, that we try to control the magnetic structures in terms of the electric actions. For example, that we can control the spin helicity in terms of the electric field. And also, we may control the magnetic domains in terms of the electric and optical control. Of course, there is also the big branch of science of the optical control of the magnetism, but maybe the part of the subject will be covered by Margaret Peavy in the upcoming talk. And here, I also emphasize on the importance of the electrodynamics of the magnetic properties. For example, that these materials show the very strange and interesting magneto-optic electric effect in the optical region, in the terahertz region. And also, there are very important toroidal moment-induced optics. For example, the so-called magnetization-induced HSD. It's actually the toroidal moment-induced HSD. Here, I would like to concentrate on the issue of the electromagnon, or more precisely, electrically driven spin excitations in the multi-ferroids. And the problem is how, let me start with the material section. And the problem is how to produce the ferroelectric state in the magnetic state. And there are a lot of the strategies. Based on the perovskite structure, you can use the bismuth or lead ions as a very polarizable atoms and may produce a polar magnetic fields. But in those materials, sometimes the coupling between the magnetism and the electricity can be small, maybe very small. And the interface issue is substantial. Realized in terms of the polycoral superlattices. The sequence of the ABC, ABC superlattices may give rise to the uncancelled electric polarization of the interface, and then can be a ferromagnetic. We have already demonstrated this issue. in the literature. And also charge ordering on the specific chemical regions, especially the triangular or bilayer lattice, is also important. If I have a time, I have a recent progress in our studies on the bilayer manganite, which really shows a magnetic ferroelectric state. And let me start with first here, the transverse spiral spin orders. And the idea was the first proposed by Nagaosa and Baratsky and colleague, and also independently by Maxim Ostboy and Elvio Dagos group. And this can be interpreted in terms of the sort of the inverse Jarosinski-Moria interaction. And if you have a cantile spin configuration by some reasons, mostly by the frustrations, then the operation of the inversion symmetry may flip the spin, something like this. And the difference is the spin rotation direction is the opposite. So this can effectively produce polarization. The work done by Katsura Nagaosa-Baratsky is that this polarization should be observable. Very large sometimes. If you are familiar to the Jarosinski-Moria interaction, if you lose the central symmetry at the position between the two spins, then the spin automatically canted. This is just inverse effect. If the spin canted by some reasons, you lose the central symmetry at the center position. And this coefficient is proportional to the spin orbit interactions. And SI cross SJ, this represents the anti-symmetric exchange interactions. And this EIJ is the unit vector connecting between the two sides, representing the flow of the spin current, permanent superconducting spin current. So but if this kind of the pair is a lineup, then you have a sort of a spiral, transverse spiral, or a cycloidal phase. Then every spin pair can generate the polarization along the same direction. But of course, a spiral direction is the opposite, then you can produce the polarization in the opposite direction. So actually, this kind of the spiral spin-induced ferroelectric polarization is realized in the time-honored compound, manganite. And as you know, the manganite showed this kind of the orbital ordering, motor insulators. And due to this orbital ordering, the staggered orbital ordering, the nearest neighbor interaction is a ferromagnetic, but anti-ferromagnetic interaction, second nearest neighbor interaction is anti-ferromagnetic in nature. And with decreasing of the rare ion size of the R, and then you have a mangan oxygen mangan bond angle distortions, and the angle becomes smaller, then the second neighbor interaction is predominant. And then the compounds show the apparent spin frustration. And this spin frustration, originally it's a ferromagnetic arrangement within the plane, and also the another extreme case is the up, up, down, down spin E-type phase. But in between, you have a frustrated incommensurate modulation of the spin state. And there are two kinds of the incommensurate spin state. Later, we know that this is a collinear spin state. This is a spiral or a cycloidal spin state. And this cycloidal spin state shows the ferroelectricity. This is an example. At zero field, if you decrease the temperature, then you observe the polarization. Sorry, we missed the number. It's nearly 1,000 microcoulomb per square meter. And but of course, it's a very sensitive response to the external magnetic field. So concerning the spin structure, the first Kentelman et al. Just reported this is really the spiral structures as anticipated from the Nagaosa-Baratsky theory. And later on, we also confirmed these predictions by using the terbium dysprosium mixed crystal single crystal, because we just fixed the magnetic modulation at the commensurate position in order to perform the very accurate spin structural determinant in terms of the four-axis single crystal diffraction of the neutron. And in the paraelectric phase, where the sinusoidal spin collinear phase of that, And we have this kind of the collinear phase. And in the at lower temperatures, where it's ferroelectric, we have observed this kind of the hemi-elliptic, not hemi, elliptic spiral modulations. And this spiral modulation of the spin is really closely relevant to the generation of the polarization, electric polarization. It was confirmed by the spin-polarized neutron scattering recently. And we skipped the detail of the detailed procedure of the polarized neutron scattering, but a neutron spin axis is either parallel or anti-parallel to the modulation Q vectors. So by using this configuration, you can pick up the spiral direction of the spin. And for example, if the plus P polarization state, you see the plus Q and the minus Q, the spin polarized neutron scattering show the opposite characteristic. But when the polarization is negative by the field, electric field cooling procedure, then the spiral, this relation is just reversed. That means that we really succeed in control the spin helicity or vector chirality of the spin arrangement in terms of the electric action by way of the spontaneous polarization. This is a somewhat detail of the experimental result. And for example, the, according to the Nagaosa formula or most of formulas, spin polarization can be expressed in terms of the industrial Sinsky-Morier interaction term. And then the we can calculate the effective electric polarization in terms of the difference of the scattering intensity, of course, in the relative magnitude. And then the, this spin-up, spin-down diffraction differential intensity should be proportional to the electric polarization. Actually, experimental results perfectly confirm this assumption. And you see that this is a sort of the ellipticity of the cycloidal spin polarization configuration. And at this part, you see that ellipticity is zero. That means the collinear spin structures. But at some point, it shows a first order like jump. And then the, it tends to increase toward the unity. But even at lowest temperatures, you see that this is not perfectly circled. It is still ellipsoidal. This is very, very important. And concerning the one of the typical compounds which showed a very gigantic response is a dispersion manganese O3. And this is a cycloidal spin running along the B axis. But original spiral plane is determined to be a BC spiral on the BC plane. So the, according to the inverse Jelczynski-Morier mechanisms, the polarization should be along the C axis. But in this case, in particular this case, if you apply the magnetic field along the B axis, then the, this BC spiral plane fall onto the AB plane. Then the, and simultaneously the spin can flop from the C axis to the A axis. So the, if you monitor the C axis, A axis polarization with the application of the magnetic field, this polarization suddenly jump up. This can be viewed as a sort of the very gigantic ME effect, the switching effect. And also, at this point, you see the very large enhancement of the dielectric constant exceeding the 200 in some cases. However, the, this very gigantic dielectric constant come from the domain wall dynamics. Here, I don't have, I cannot afford to describe the detail, but it's a AB spiral and BC spiral, it's domain wall. Is responsible for this very gigantic magnetic response. It's very interesting. And we can draw the sort of the phase diagram in terms of the, in the plane of the temperature and also the magnetic field. But typically, in the dispersion manganese O3 case, the BC spiral with the polarization along the C axis is propped to the AB spiral with the polarization along the A axis in terms of the magnetic field. The near the, this borderline, phase boundaries, we observe the very gigantic action. So this is, again, the sign to the flop of the BC spiral to the AB spiral. However, in the case of the terbium manganese O3 or dysprosium manganese O3, this magnetic field induced characteristic seems to be heavily affected by the presence of the this DAS ion. It's strongly coupled to the these spins. So we try to develop the non-magnetic A-site ion mangan perovskite. But of course, independently, the similar attempt was conducted by the Sofia University group, Kuwahara's, former my colleague, Kuwahara's group, and also Alois, Professor Reuter group. And they already published the paper. And we have got the bit different, but a similar phase diagram as a function of the yttrium in this combination. Actually, we try to mimic the situation of the terbium manganese O3 and dysprosium manganese O3 in terms of the solid solution by tuning the tolerance factor or ionic radius. And this is roughly corresponds to the terbium, and this is roughly corresponds to the dysprosium. And but important point is that in this series, you have an electronic polarization along the A-axis is dominant at the ground state. But at some elevated temperature, we have also the C-axis polarized BC spiral plane. But it's detailed. But this is a summary of the phase diagram. And in the lower yttrium content, or larger DAS ionic radius, then the collinear phase is directly transformed into the weakly ferromagnetic phases, so-called A-type spin state. But in the ferroelectric ground state materials, in some cases, the collinear spin is transformed to the AP spiral. But further, with further increase of the yttrium or further squeezing the ionic radius size, then you have a once BC spiral, then eventually go to the AP spiral. That means the format that we can induce a BC spiral to NB spiral transition in terms of the external magnetic field. But in this case, even the thermal agitation can change the BC spiral, AC spiral phases. So that means that those two phases are very comparable free ground state energy, free energy, and almost degenerate in energy. That's very important. So in this case, we can also cause a magnetic field induced polarization flop. For example, if you, this is the temperature dependence of the polarization flop. And you see the very clear magnetic anisotropy. First, the axis magnetization decrease, that means the collinear spins. With spins directing along the B-axis is the dominant at this phase. And at the ground state, A-axis and B-axis magnetization decrease. Only C-axis susceptibility survives. That means the AB spiral is dominant. So, but also in this system, you can induce the magnetic field-induced polarization flow. For example, in this case, if you apply the magnetic field from the for the A-axis, along the A-axis. Then the AB spiral plane is converted to the BC spiral plane. And simultaneously, the A-axis polarization is converted to the C-axis polarization. But this, thanks to the absence of the magnetic ions on the perovskite A-site, mechanism becomes quite simple. Because if you apply the magnetic field along the D-axis, obviously, that if these two states are almost degenerate, then this BC spiral is favored due to the spin flop mechanism or gamma energy. So this is quite in agreement with the simple prediction and the simple mechanism. So this is a summary of the phase diagram observed in the manganese oxide. With some control parameters, two states are almost degenerate. And you can switch between the two AB spiral or BC spiral states. But above these two phases, two competing phases, we have a collinear spin structure. But very important point is that this, in the collinear spin structures, the spin moment is a sinusoidal in magnitude. And this strangeness was actually first pointed out by Bernhard Kaimann. And it's a spin, S equal two spin system, rather classical spin system. But nevertheless, it's a sinusoidal modulation according to the neutron scattering axis. So that means these two phase fluctuations between the AB and BC spiral phase is so severe. In that case, once only the propagation vector of the spiral modulation is fixed, and then the AB and BC is fluctuating with each other. So that means the C component or A component should disappear. Only the B component should survive as a sort of the sine curve or sinusoidal curve. So this is a highly fluctuated disordered system in that sense of the two components. But with further the Faison degree of freedom is just added, its fluctuation is added, then it turned into the paramagnetic state or paraelectric state at elevated temperature. So the big phase fluctuation is the essence of this system. So in those systems, it's very important to consider the dynamic electromagnet coupling. And this sometimes termed electromagnon. That means the magnetic excitation can be driven electronically. And a very pioneering work was presented last year by the Professor Roido group, Demenov. And they observed a rather strong infrared absorption, a terahertz region. Well, this is one terahertz region absorption. And actually, the same Katra Lagos-Baratsky company just produced some theoretical results. But it's actually no use at the moment. Later, he presented a very devised new theory I had. And it cannot explain the polarization selection rule, and also the cannot explain the observed big amplitude. So the very similar result was already obtained by the Professor Roido group, but let me explain our own result in terms of our own result. Okay, this is a result, and no one has reported on the result on the dispersion magnets. This is the most biggest colossal ME compound. And this compound is a BC spiral compound. In this configuration, we observed the terahertz absorption in terms of the real-time terahertz spectroscopies. I skipped the experimental detail. And you see this is the essence. In the near the 4 milli or 8 milli, 10 milli region, 10 milli electron volt region, or 1 or 2 terahertz region, we observed a huge electronic absorption only for the E parallel rate. Actually, we checked all the polarization configuration. So the only E parallel rate showed a very huge absorption. And this is but not a so sharp peak, and a rather broad continuous peak. But we still have some big, some major and other peak structure. But for the other polarization, we only observed a tiny peak, but it's still broad as a magnon peak. But it's near the same region. But magnitude is much smaller, one order of magnitude smaller than the E parallel A absorption. And such a small absorption is only observed at parallel, mainly A axis. So this is another result. By using the very different plane, AC plane, AB plane, by changing the light magnetic field polarization can be changed, but electric field polarization can be fixed. So only E parallel A magnitude is still some difference due to the experimental errors, but you observe the very large dielectric constant exceeding the 10. And its absorption is quite broad and survive up to relatively higher temperature, of course, but at the elevated temperature, it tends to disappear. So this compound is not transparent at all in spite of the large charge gap. In the infrared region, it's quite untransparent, absorbs the light very, very strongly. But on the other hand, H parallel A configuration, we observe the not conventional, but rather broad magnon features. but its magnitude, maybe it's a mu 2 peak, not epsilon 2 peak, observed around here, and it tends to disappear with increasing the temperature. And more strangely, in this compound, we can have two configurations, AB spiral plane and BC spiral plane. And according to the, for example, the RPA theory of the electromagnons, in this case, E parallel C configuration, and the fluctuation of the polarization is responsible for the electromagnon. In this case, E parallel A configuration is a electromagnon active. But in reality, we observed, irrespective of the AB or BC spiral configuration, only the E parallel A configuration shows the biggest electromagnon. And actually, this compound showed the polarization flop around 2 tesseract. But across this 2 tesseract, we actually observed some shift of the electromagnon peak structure, but very broad absorption never changed, essentially. So only E parallel A, we always observe a very large absorption exceeding the 10 in the epsilon 2. And this feature is also observed for this yttrium, European yttrium system. Very similar data was already reported on the condomant by the Professor Loyder group. And you see that this is the real part and the imaginary part. We observe a huge absorption for the E parallel A, and accompanied by two peak structures, but a very broad background. And also, this real part is also showed anomaly. But for the H parallel A, we observed a rather sharp structure. This can be assigned conventional magnon, perhaps. But this cannot be assigned magnon, and this is common to the E parallel A spectra. That means electrically driven magnetic low energy excitation. But in this case, also the BC spiral, AB spiral show the thermally induced flopping. But irrespective of the temperature, we observe the similar, very strong absorption for the E parallel A. So that is a very clear selection rule of the electrically driven spin excitation in this multi-ferroex. And the answer can be given in the next speaker's talk. Then let me proceed to the another multi-ferroex of the spin origin. So far, we are just concentrated on this kind of the spiral magnet. But in order to produce a real multi-ferroex, we have to add some magnetization. In order to produce polarization in terms of the spiral configurations in the actual ferromagnet, maybe we can use this conical spin configuration. In the conical, you have some spin rotation. So it produces a polarization. On average, it's along the this axis, similar to this case. But you have some non-canceled magnetization on some axis. So the P and M are orthogonal to each other. Actually, this kind of the configuration can be observed in the case of the very time-honored compound cobalt chromium 204s. First explained, its structure is explained by Professor Tom Kaplan. And in this compound, you have a very magnetic magnetization. And at low temperature, this ferrimagnetic configuration turned into the conical structures and incommensurate to commensurate. But incommensurate to commensurate story has nothing to do with the generation of the polarization. And by using the different polarity cooling field, we can obtain the polarization plus or polarization minus, although the polarization value itself is extremely small. So in this compound, if you start with the plus electrically polarized and the positively magnetization state, then reverse magnetization. This is a conventional MH curve. Then the polarization is also reversed. Otherwise, if you start with a negatively magnetized but a positively electrically polarized state, then reverse the magnetization, then the polarization is also reversed. So by using the synchronously reverse magnetization in terms of the electric field, the green curve, then the polarization shoulder synchronous reversal. This means that if you reverse the magnetization, polarization also flop. And this is quite simple, that this magnetization is just a kind of the conical configuration, and you just reverse the magnetization. And then the rotation axis is just reversed, so the polarization is up and down. But in this sense, this just realized the MP coupling. And of course, certainly that we can, we should reverse magnetization in terms of the electric field action in this conical magnet. Unfortunately, we couldn't succeed in this compound because of too small polarization value. So this conical structure is really working. So the, then let me make the ferroelectric materials in the, all the spiral material with use of the all the spiral material. Especially there are lots of the magnetic compound, this kind of the screw proper compound. And this is a modulation of the polarization predicted by the Nagasaka-Baratsky theory. And this Q equals zero modulation means, of course, a ferroelectric polarization. And then the conical structure is okay. The transverse elliptical or transverse helical is, of course, okay. But this kind of the proper screw structure cannot produce the polarization. But for all these proper screw compounds, if you apply the magnetic field in a little bit slanted direction, then you can generate the polarization. I think the best example is the zinc chromium 274. It's a very proper screw compound. Long time ago, Professor Shiratori and, as you know, the Jun Akimitsu have confirmed under the cooling of under the electric field and magnetic field, so-called electromagnetic field cooling, they can demonstrate the some helicity or screw spin sense can be totally determined, controlled, by using the polarized neutron. However, the, our claim is that in the, this slanted region is maybe should be regarded as a sort of the ferroelectrics. And for example, under the slanted field direction away from the 100 spin axis, then we scan the magnetic fields. Then we observe the fairly large polarization, not pyroelectric, it's a not thermal process, so the displacement current. So, so just integrating over the current, we observe the, in the zero field, of course, the polarization is zero, but at a finite field, we observe the rather large polarization or ferroelectric polarization. Of course, if we apply the larger magnetic field, then the spin cone axis is closed. Then the, it loses the ferroelectricity at 7 Tesla due to the quenching of the magnetic superconducting magnet that we didn't do that. So, it should be over. So it's very interesting. So if you apply the magnetic field along this direction, then first determine the screw sense or spin helicity or vector chirality. Then we rotate the magnetic field. And then the, this shows the various polarization direction. And I have almost run out of time, so to skip the detail. But as you see, the, if you rotate the magnetic field at some point, and this screw modulation axis is, it should select another axis. So the spin is just flop this way or this way. And then further rotation and come back to the original state, and just something like that. So the, this is some spin flop, spin axis, propagation axis flopping transition at this point. But it showed a fairly large modulation of the ferroelectric polarization. And you have some continuous current integrating over the, it generates the ferroelectric polarization. And also according to the propagation axis flopping, you have some spiky current. So this is a sort of the, if you apply the rotating magnetic field, you can generate the electric current over this pulse current. So it's a sort of the dynamo in terms of the ME. But it's not magnetic electric induction. It's a ME effect. That term is a bit different. And with the change of the various magnetic fields, and it's rather competition between the spiral spin anisotropy and the direction of the polarization. We observe the two-fold symmetry or four-fold symmetry and various curve. And also, depending on the magnetic field, spiral cone axis is changing. And finally, it disappears. Right there. Oh, okay. So, charge ordering on the specific chemical lattice. Recently, I tried to answer the former Daniel Komsky's question that we finally solved the problem, but anyway, later in the discussion. And this is the conclusion. And you see the very various abundant physics in the spiral over chiral spin magnet. And this vector spin chirality produced ferroelectricity. And the toroidal moment is, of course, very important for the magnetoelectric effect, optical effect. And also that this scalar chirality also showed anomalous Hall current over sometimes the magnetization vortex. And this is recently we observed a sort of the magnetic spiral lattice visualization of the magnetic spiral lattice in the Lorentz term, and also observed some vortex structures relevant to the, perhaps relevant to the magnetic side quantum critical transition. Okay, thank you.
It seems to be much harder to control magnetism with an electric field rather than the ferroelectric structure with a magnetic field. Is this just a question of energy scales, or is it something else?
Energy scale means, for example, the in order to drive the, for example, magnetization or magnetic domain structure in terms of the electric field, maybe the driving force is P dot E. This is the lowest order. So the polarization should be large. So the, in the real material system, some material system, the polarization is too small due to the very small spin-orbit interaction. So that is the real problem. But I think this another kind of the, for example, iron oxide or some magnet oxide-based compound, magnet polarization body is not so small. So I think it's possible. It's a rather maybe some limitation of the leaky current or a breakdown of the crystal. That's a real problem.
So you say that you said that in the collinear phase of this ytterbium-europium, there is a actually this collinear phase is a kind of result of averaging of AC and BC spirals. So then I would expect that already in the collinear phase, the dielectric constant, say along A, would be large, yeah, because of large fluctuation implies large dielectric constant. Is it so?
Actually, in the let me start with the intensity of the electrically driven magnetic excitation, or not electromagnetic, not collective mode. No more. And in that case, this even the collinear phase, people observed this huge absorption, but very broad structures, not peaked, but also ranging to the up to the 10 millielectron volt. So the I think a fluctuation is certainly there. So the concerning the dielectric constant, originally this dielectric constant is very small due to the small polarization. And sometimes we observe the huge dielectric constant, but it's always observed in the, I believe we just detect that it's a dynamics of the domain wall, not a polarization fluctuation in the dielectric constant. Maybe later discuss.
I also have a question concerning this picture. In all of these pictures, as you had pointed out, the spins, are not. You don't see the full spin two moments per side, so there's a large reduction.
Yeah.
Now you've also observed these low energy excitations, coupled electrical and magnetic fluctuations, and you could in spin wave theory, there's a quantitative relation between the two, between the 0 point fluctuations on the of the that reduce the average moment per site and the magnetic fluctuations. So you can just do a simple calculation of the of this moment that you expect in spin wave theory. The question is whether anybody has done this. You know, whether this delta S or so has, or the magnetic moment reduction has been calculated in spin wave theory.
I think it's a very, very important, interesting question, and but a very difficult problem. And but last week Naoto has done some calculation, and he's going to present the result.
I saw your nice zinc chromium selenide results, and you showed the polarization versus magnetic field. I think up to fields of 5 tesla.
Yeah.
If you go to 6 tesla, it's a ferromagnet, or you have induced full ferromagnetism, and then it should vanish, or the polarization should go to zero.
Yeah.
Is that? Do you observe that?
Didn't. But suddenly, it should echo.
Okay. So that's it's a forthcoming experiment.
Experiment that I'm worrying about as quenching of the.
Because that would be very convincing if then the polarization goes to zero.
Yeah, actually, the this around 6 tesla is constant. So I think, its tendency is quite clear. and these are just derivative of this curve, and this derivative, and this derivative. And we first increase on the negative slope. This corresponds to the maximum, and then comes to zero. It's out.
Okay. Are there more questions?
It's not exactly a question, but a comment. We have done this calculation that you were saying that is not exactly in that kind of problem, but spin wave calculation for helicoidal for spiral magnets. And in many situations, we find diverging fluctuation. So we have it has been published in some work on, for example, on G1, G2, G3 model on the hexagonal lattice, I think, years ago. And but in all other situations where there is a helicoidal order, spin wave calculation do diverge, and quantum fluctuation do diverge.
Sorry, concerning the results, the message from the experimental side is a selection rule is quite simple for this this class of the compound, and completely irrespective of the AB, BC, and the AB spiral. Maybe even at the ground state, I believe that some fluctuation still survive, because the BC spiral, AB spiral, it's not a completely circular cycloidal. It's a still elliptical. So but irrespective of the both phases, we only observe the very strong E parallel A absorption, but almost nothing intensity, no intensity, electrical absorption intensity along the C axis, even in this AB spiral case. So maybe I hope the theory can explain this future.
Okay. One more question.
Would you agree that while you can control the helicity of your spiral with a magnetic field, with an electric field, you can, or the direction of the spins itself is still a degree of freedom which is open to the system, which you do not control. Would you agree? So you can set a right-hand screw or a left-hand screw, but the spin direction in the screw is still open.
I see. Uh-huh. Spin direction, you mean the...
Spins can be pointed... when you have set the handedness of the screw,
yeah,
then the pins on the screw can still point in one direction or in the opposite direction, and the system wouldn't, or you can, you do not control this with your external parameters.
In the face of spiral?
I would say that this still makes the antiferromagnetism,
yeah,
on top of the handedness, mm-hmm, of the screw, so that there is still a degree of freedom which is open to the system.
But I think it's simply the face of the spiral. You can shift the whole spiral by half of the period, and then you change, actually, if it's right moving spiral, and then suppose that this point is up and, say, after half a period down, and then you simply shift the half of the period, and then it's interchanged. It's simply... Yeah, definitely we can reverse all the speed, but it's simply a shift of change of phase.
But my impression. In the case of the antiferromagnet, of course, we have some phase degree and 180 degree phase difference. You are saying that this kind of the determination of the phase of the spiral modulation, in that sense, we cannot control that phase. Where our node of our spiral modulation is. That's correct. But spin direction is, in this case, due to the tiny magnetic anisotropy, it's confined onto the, in this case, the BC plane. So the only, in the sense of the diffraction studies, spiral helicity is totally determined. Yeah, but its phase cannot be determined. In that sense, you're right. Yeah.
Okay, another question, Paula?
I just wanted to point out that in a cycloidal structure that there's no true handedness. There's not right hand and left hand in this case. It's only in the transverse. So if you have...
I didn't say any word of the handedness.
I know, but you didn't say
that. I say the chirality, the vector chirality.
It does not have chirality.
Yeah, vector chirality.
In other words, chirality...
Definitely defined.
Sorry?
Vector chirality is definitely defined. Not handedness. So this is not an antimona in some sense, you are right. But it's a vector chirality, SI cross SJ can be defined.
But how do you define chirality? What would you then call?
It means that something that's chiral cannot be brought to its mirror image by rotation.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this can be.
Okay. Just let me think. Are there any more questions? Because we probably have to move forward. Then let's thank the speaker again. And the next talk will be by another key player in this game.